And then you get on that tube, and then they push you down the hill. And that's a great way to release any kind of tension. Just dip into that playful, almost like, childlike kind of state where you enjoy freely those winter activities as you roll down that hill, right? On that tube, and then up the mountain you go again.
Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge von Beste Zeit, dem Podcast zum Auslandsstudium von und mit College Contact. Ich bin Alexandra.
Und ich bin Elias.
Und gemeinsam sind wir die Gastgeber dieses Podcasts, mit dem wir euer Fernweh wecken und euch dabei unterstützen wollen, eure ganz eigene beste Zeit im Ausland zu erleben.
Für unsere Weihnachtsfolge haben wir uns eine Universität mit Schneegarantie ausgesucht. Wir schließen das Jahr nämlich mit Tatjana Dikajewa von der Thompson Rivers University in Kamloops aus Kanada ab.
Cam what? Werden jetzt vielleicht einige von euch denken. Tatsächlich fliegt die Kleinstadt in den Rocky Mountains von British Columbia häufig unter dem Radar. Tatjana hat mit uns aber ausführlich über die Vorzüge von Kamloops gesprochen und uns auch erklärt, warum die Universität mitten im Outdoor-Paradies von Kanada für Auslandssemesterstudierende ganz besondere Erlebnisse bereithält.
Und auch wenn Kamloops laut Tatjana innerhalb Kanadas eher für einen milderen Winter bekannt ist, werdet ihr dort definitiv mehr Schnee sehen als hier bei uns. Die WintersportlerInnen unter euch sollten also schon einmal die Ohren spitzen. Viel Spaß mit der Folge und los geht's! Hi Tatjana, welcome and thank you for being on our podcast today.
Thank you for inviting me, it's my pleasure.
Of course. Before we talk about Thompson Rivers University, we and our listeners, of course, would like to find out a little bit about yourself. So let's start off with that. What's your role at Thompson Rivers University and what do you like most about it?
My role at the university, I'm a coordinator, international agent relations. So that means that I'm supporting partners globally around the world, making sure that we provide all the up-to-date information, material, connection, all that liaison that we need. But I also support certain markets like you guys, right, where we have close connection and, of course, student interaction there. So I would say that my favorite part is, as part of the job, there's a lot of networking. Of course, it takes you places too, right? Globally, including attending those different networking events. So I think that's the best part for me is networking, meeting new people, learning about different cultures by either experiencing that yourself through the work trip, right? Or through that interaction, learning about different cultures and people. So that I would say that people contact, right? And networking, that's the best part.
Speaking of taking you places, what's been your favorite travel destination so far?
I definitely can say that Brazil captured my heart for sure, especially if we think of Rio and being by the ocean. That's so far my favorite destination.
Interesting. And what is one place that you've never visited before but would love to explore?
I would say that I have the whole continent that I think is waiting for me, and that is Africa. But specifically, I would want to travel to Kenya to explore their national parks, pink flamingos, right, the Lake Nakuru. So that's, I had to add it to my bucket list. So one day, for sure.
That's a cool destination. All right, last question, and then I think we're checked in. What's a fun fact that people would be surprised to learn about you?
I would say that that kind of goes back to that connecting with people, but I also like to connect with people through post-crossing. So I don't know if you know what that is. It's basically when I'm into postcards. I love the postcards, especially different design postcards. And post-crossing allows you to randomly send the card to any destination. The program generates that for you. You don't even know the person, but you meet them through different postcards. You receive postcards from all over the world, from people that you don't even know about. And they write brief information, whatever they want to put at the back. So it's that opportunity to also network in a different way, but also share the art of the postcards.
That is so funny. My dad is actually doing the same thing.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So I need to check in with him to see if he's ever received a postcard from Kamloops.
That would be too funny.
I actually have quite a few from Germany.
Oh, well, maybe we need to connect kind of outside of this podcast to see if there has been.
For sure.
That would be so funny.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll definitely ask him. So cool.
All right. Then, yeah, let's jump in and talk a little bit about TRU. Let's maybe start off with a somewhat general question. Tatiana, what type of student would be a great fit to TRU? Or to put it differently, what type of student is TRU looking to attract?
As a university, we actually looking at all the demographics out there, because in Canada, there's no cap for the maximum age, right, of a student that can study. So we are open to attract high school students as well as mature students, be it during their study or even after they've completed their degree, right? So there's a lot of age-wise, right? There's a lot of flexibility there. And opportunities, right, for anyone to go back to studies. When it comes to student, we definitely want the student to be more curious to experience, curious to explore. That comes together program-wise, destination-wise, right? So more of that mature, independent in a sense too, right? So they can navigate the system, although we have amazing support in place through various teams, be it international student advisors who help with that transition, right? And understanding how to navigate the university system, to academic advisors who plan their courses. But we still want the student to take the initiative in their experience, because otherwise we can't experience that for you, right? You have to take part in that and very active part. So that's what we're looking in a student. Have that zest for exploration, learning, engaging during the class, because that's also part of what we want to have. We want to have that experiential opportunity in the classroom and outside the classroom. So active, eager, a student who's seeking the knowledge, but also the students who would enjoy the destination. That means someone who likes outdoors, enjoy active lifestyle, even family, right? If we have a lot of students actually as families, right, coming here, because it's a great destination where you have time, right, to build your social connections, to network, to enjoy the time with family, with friends, exploring again, right, what are my interests now.
So you already mentioned that students who are active and outdoorsy will enjoy studying at Thompson Rivers. And I already mentioned that that TRU is located in Kamloops. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about Thompson Rivers' location and its surroundings, because we always feel it is a top destination for students who are looking for like the great outdoors of Canada.
Yes, and I think it's worth starting with the actual location of campus, because the campus is located and has like scenic view overlooking rivers, some mountains, some hills, right? So that location itself, especially students who stay in one of our own campus residences and have that view, right, overlooking that river, those hills, that's definitely breathtaking on its own, right? But when we speak about Kamloops as a destination, also picturesque, right? We're in the valley. There's two rivers that meet right in the heart of the city. And actually, our name, Kamloops, when we look at that First Nation component in their language, that's what they call the place where two rivers meet, Kamloopa, right? So Kamloops, a place where rivers meet. Nature-wise, lots of things to explore. There's one of the greatest, actually, mountain biking trails, lots and lots of hiking places. And because we kind of in that semi-desert, right, you see like from pine trees to slowly kind of grading into that sage kind of sagebrush terrain, right? So students can find all the different likings, right? Nature-wise, right? Activity-wise. So that's why I'm saying it's going to be a great destination for those who enjoy that active lifestyle, right? Who enjoy those activities. The city itself is very friendly. So that's one thing that definitely worth highlighting. It's easy to integrate with the community. So we're not only talking about I'm here at the university, I feel more support and connection with the university, but cannot connect outside. That's not the case when we talk about Kamloops, right? There's lots of events that take place. There's lots of different volunteer opportunities, even if students are here for just a semester, right? That the welcoming, that integration is there, right? So hence back to, right, the students that we're seeking is active in their experiences, who want to be part of it, right? Who want to be engaged, right, in those kind of exploration, connection building activities.
So how big is Kamloops? How many people live there? Approximately
around 100,000 in population. Yeah, for Canada, that's not a small city for Canada. Let's just put it that way, right? Because being second largest country in the world, but having small number in general in population, right, as a country, right, 100,000 puts us in a decent size.
So it's like a regional center, basically, for kind of the surrounding part of British Columbia.
You got that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So what kind of experience would an international student have in a somewhat smaller Canadian city? Because you probably get that a lot, but when we have students coming to us thinking about Canada, not a lot of students come to us and say, hey, I've always kind of wanted to go to Kamloops, but they talk about Toronto, they talk about Vancouver, they might talk about, I don't know, maybe Montreal, but a lot of students haven't heard about Kamloops. So just share with us and with our audience what the advantages might be to study in a somewhat smaller city.
And indeed, what you're saying, that's the case, because those metropolitan cities, people hear more often about them. So hence we choose, right, what we hear about more. But there's actually a lot of benefits to coming to cities like Kamloops. I already mentioned that connectivity, right? So that transition, and especially for young students who may be traveling by himself for that excessive amount of time, right, for the whole semester, they need to have that support. They need to feel that I'm still comfortable in this environment, right? I can still connect. I can still find my people. I can find that support. I can integrate. So that's kind of the destination, right, that we're talking about. Connection with the community, connection on campus, fast integration with the student life when we speak about that, because there's a lot of support student to student, right? So that peer interaction is great. And also, we need to talk about, they here for just maybe a semester or two, right? They don't have time to kind of hustle and bustle. They want to experience it all. And that's where they get that experience, Canadian culture, events that are happening, connecting, right, with Canadians to take a deep dive into, well, what's your life is like here, right? What are the things that you usually do, places where you travel? They get to explore those places nearby as well, right? So that's the huge part of it, is that they get to have a deep dive into that Canadian culture, right, and Canadian lifestyle that a lot of students come to actually experience and see.
What are then some of the trips that students should not miss out on while studying at Thompson Rivers University? Like, what is there? What is there in the immediate surroundings, but also maybe a little further away? I think Vancouver is about, what, 3.5-4 hours by car?
About that. By car, yeah. Bus would be a little bit longer because, you know, we always need to account for those multiple stops, right? Well, we get to Vancouver, and then as soon as you hit that Vancouver kind of sub area,
the
traffic is definitely more. Yeah. Exactly. So Vancouver, yes, for sure, place to explore. And of course, especially students who come in, say, winter semester, there's reading break, right? So the whole week they get to either travel or stay and study, right, if they want to. But a lot of students choose to travel. and of course, like in between, right, there's long weekends here and there. So definitely Vancouver trip would be worthwhile to visit. In the immediate access, Sun Peaks. Sun Peaks, that's our ski resort, and that's actually the second largest one, right, in the whole country, not just in BC. That is a great destination, whether a student is coming during the winter, whether a student is coming other season, right? There's still is that alpine village, right? So get that vibe of that alpine village, maybe check some farmers markets, some events, some festivals that take place there too. Go up the lift. If they ski, if they snowboard, great. That's definitely top destination. If students don't like skiing, snowboarding, there's still other activities they can explore there, from sled riding, tubing. That's my kind of sport too, right? So lots of things to explore there, up at Sun Peaks. Definitely, if they have more than just a long weekend, I would recommend go to Jasper, go to Banff, Lake Louise, right in Banff. That's like a landmark when we talk about Canada. And because Kamloops is like in the heart of British Columbia, right, it's easy for students to go either way, right, from that central point, right, whether we go to Vancouver down the coast, whether we go towards Alberta, if we want to go to Jasper, it's still great location-wise, transportation-wise, and logistics of that, right? Okanagan region, that's another great area to explore, especially for students, more mature students who also want to look up some winery culture, right? There's a lot of wineries in Okanagan and in BC, in Kamloops as well, right? So not a lot of people even know that, right? That there's a lot of wineries in BC. We also take students different places through our LEAP program, right? So that's Leisure Activity Exploration Program. We'll talk about that in a little bit more in details if you want to. But those are some of the key kind of trips and visits and things to explore.
Cool. One question that often pops up when we talk to students about TRU or about other Canadian universities is obviously the Canadian winter. What's that really like? Just as a side note, as we're recording this, today is the first snowfall here in Germany or in Frankfurt. I don't think it's gonna last, but still, I think there are some, you know, preconceptions or stereotypes about Canadian winters, and Canada is such a huge country. What is it like in central British Columbia?
Absolutely. And you can't even compare winter experience, right, province to province. And when we talk about British Columbia, we have our own microclimate. So when the rest of the country might be freezing, it's not happening in BC. And that is, again, thanks to the location, right? There's ocean on one side, there's Rocky Mountains on the other side. So we kind of in our own little cocoon, right, climate-wise. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about Kamloops, we're in the valley. And as I already mentioned, that being the semi-desert, we don't have humidity. So even when we have that winter, but you remove that humidity factor, that actually makes it quite comfortable to still be outside, to still be enjoying the outdoors. Usually we do see snow. Mm-hmm. So far, as we record the podcast, so far we don't have the snow on the ground. There were a few days where it tried to snow a little bit. But if we talk like those areas where it's up in the mountain, of course, you know, first snow is already there, right? But not in the city yet. I would say that Kamloops, the average temperature would be -5, -7. That's what we typically have during the winter time. Mm-hmm. However, we always have about 2 weeks during the whole winter season. It can be either end of December or it can be sometime in February where temperature can drop to -20. But that's about 2 weeks of the whole winter that we experience.
Mm-hmm. And just on a personal note, what do you think is the best time for international students to come?
I would definitely say that shoulder season is absolutely stunning and gorgeous. So that's spring, that's your fall season. Winter time when it snows, it's also beautiful too, because in Kamloops we do see a lot of sunshine. So even with the snow and the sunny days, like it just makes it light and beautiful. So winter is good too. I can't really pinpoint just one specific time of the year where you would come and visit, but definitely I'm a big fan of those shoulder seasons, I would say, right? But for some other students, winter would be more appealing because of the access to those different activities, winter sports, right? It's their jam. Mm.
And I mean, the good thing is with regard to the intakes you have, students can either start in fall and then stay for the winter, or they can start in winter and stay for the spring. So they
absolutely
don't really have to choose, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And either
year.
Yeah, exactly. But they can stay the whole year, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and either or, whether you come fall time or January, you're still going to experience some of that winter, right? And winter sports with that too.
Okay. You already mentioned activities and student support. I think campus life is often a major factor when international students choose to go abroad for one or two semesters, because campus life isn't always as kind of busy in Germany. Like a lot of students go to class and then they go home, and a lot of the sports and other activities happen in kind of clubs. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily on university campuses. So I think a lot of students, especially if they've watched TV shows or movies about North American kind of college life and campus life, that's something that definitely appeals to them, to have that experience. So maybe you could share with our audience what life is like on campus at TRU and how international students are also integrated, especially if they're only coming for one semester or two, because that's something, again, that we're often asked is, I know there's all these clubs, I know there's all these kind of sports groups. Can I even join them if I'm only there for like 4 months, or do I have to be a student coming for a full bachelor's master's degree? I know that was a lengthy question, but take your time to
But no, it's a great question, because indeed, when we talk about another benefit, right, like we're a campus-based university, so that means that campus integration is also there. And it actually starts from the very first day they hear, before even classes begin, right, with all the orientation, where there's other new students who start their journey the same semester, so that already opens that door for social connection, making friends, right? Meeting other students who are volunteering now, so they are current students, but they want to help students with that integration, help them with some tips and other kind of ideas as to how to be successful, right? Things to do and so on. So we start that integration of new students on a campus basically from that orientation. Depending on the intake that they're joining, there's even larger university-wide events like back to school barbecue, right, that we usually have in September, with tons of different clubs have their booths, so students can learn about what kind of clubs are there, how to join them, how to become a member. And even if they're here just for a semester, they're still welcome to be part of the club for that particular semester. There's a lot of events happening throughout the semester. There's also different ways for students to continue to stay active. Mind you, campus is not just a study building. It's way more to that we have on campus, from sport facilities with aquatic center, gym, of course, dance studio that we have here, to different study spaces, open concept, study rooms, cubicles. So students engage even in their study process, right, that they have. There's also a lot of different programs happening to help students navigate their university life. For example, our wellness center puts together different mindfulness programs, coping with stress. For example, every Thursday they bring therapy dogs on our campus, so students can just come and pet that therapy dog, help to de-stress, help to kind of lighten up their day and carry on, right? Around midterms, around exams, there's always going to be some stations where students can, have a bit of a break from their studies, do puzzles, do coloring, grab a banana mandarin, you name it, right? just to, again, lighten up their day and help freshen up. There's different events, like, for example, Long Night Against Procrastination, where faculty members, support centers, like Writing Center, they always stay there throughout the whole night with students to kind of help them with that last push, work on the project. They do a variety of seminars throughout the night, right, to help, again, with that academic aspect of procrastination. And then they always meet the day with coffee, pizzas, right? So again, there's a lot of engagement happening on our campus. Activity program is also open to international students as well as to domestic students. So anyone can just hop in onto one or the other event that they put together. Some events are on campus, some events are off campus, especially large celebrations like Halloween. We try to organize either haunted house, and students go through that experience. There's always something around Christmas time as well, where it's either decorating the Christmas tree, which even our international department does that. We send that invite to students, come join our department tree decoration. We introduce them to eggnog, because not everyone is familiar that that's a Canadian drink that we drink around Christmas. So those kind of different engagements that are happening, always happening on campus, always something going on. We have our own pub on campus where they can also watch different sports, tournaments, you name it. Even our students, they play varsity sports. So a lot of times we either host the competition, sometimes even national level, right? Like soccer competition that we had earlier in November. So there's always a lot going on our campus.
Sounds like it.
We often tell students that a good way of getting in touch with other students is joining one of the clubs on campus. What are some of the clubs that TRU offers that you would highlight to international students?
Well, first, I want to say that if we look at our directory of clubs, there's close to 80 different clubs, and they are divided by categories, right? So you can always find something that speaks to you through that category, whether it's more of the academic club, so you can have more of that professional experience, like, say, accounting club, right? If that's what you want to explore more. Enactus, which is more business club, different case studies, competitions. So again, that's some academic-related clubs. There's a lot of athletic clubs, including some of those kind of active winter sports club, right? Or even running club, ski, bike, run clubs, right? Curling clubs, outdoor clubs. So that's more of that athletic category. There's also a lot of clubs that are more on different common interests, be it be it a speaking club, baking club, be it chess club, drumming, a lot of different interests basically there, right? So so that's what we have based on the interest. And then, of course, there's some even political clubs, right? Students who are into, say, debate, right? Who want to explore more of that public speaking in a sense too, right? So those are different categories, I would say, right, of clubs that students can join, right, for that particular semester.
You mentioned earlier during our conversation the LEAP program.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little more about that, what that's all about? First of all, what does LEAP stand for, and what is the program about?
So LEAP stands for Leisure Exploration and Activity Program. And that is the program that in its core is designed to help students have fun and explore the area. And it is subsidized by our international department. That means that students will be joining for those different activities on a fraction of a cost, right, for that particular activity. For example, January comes, we take students to Sun Peaks Resort with all the transportation provided, snacks provided, all the rental of the equipment, instructor for somebody who needs to take lessons. All of it is just 35 Canadian dollars. Right?
cool.
So other events that they do, some events can even be free of charge. We can take them attend hockey game that is happening here. We can take them to different, say, crafts nights, or we can even take them to explore more what the area has to offer, taking students to Okanagan, taking students to Vancouver, for example, to attend Christmas market, right? Taking students kayaking during summertime, right? Or rafting. So all those different activities that they put together throughout the whole academic calendar. So students who are coming, they will know what to expect for that upcoming semester because the calendar is already out there and they can explore, oh, that sounds like a fun idea for me, right? Some events will be on campus, right? Like around Christmas, for example, if they want to have a Christmas decoration tree. Or build a gingerbread house, right, and decorate that. So those kind of activities that can be brought on campus indoors, right? But some of those are outdoors as well.
Nice. Maybe we can put a link to the program, the current program, into the show notes of the podcast, so that students can get a kind of taster of what it's like. But you mentioned Christmas markets and gingerbread houses. So what is the Christmas time like in Kamloops? Because I imagine, especially when the first snow is on the ground, it might be really kind of picturesque.
Absolutely. So we usually dive into Christmas way before Christmas. It's almost like the whole month of, maybe a little bit more, right? The whole month of preparing to celebrate that Christmas. And what that means is a lot of events will be Christmas-related events, basically, will start happening after Halloween. So once Halloween is done, we swap to the Christmas idea. For example, yesterday
we just had that early,
but it already sets you in that mood, right, of putting together your gifts, buying Christmas stockings, decoration, jingle bell songs, all of that. And of course, throughout the whole month, there's always a lot of events happening related to Christmas. For example, like Santa Parade that we just had yesterday in town, right? So that's happening usually end of November. December, there'll be different artisan markets, Christmas markets, brunch with Santa, including, right? So there's a lot of events leading to the actual celebration of Christmas. So students can always join one of those events, right? There's different themed theater plays that are happening too at our theater here in the city. Wildlife Park, so our just on the outskirts of the city, we have a wildlife park where they created a home for animals who can no longer be introduced to the wilderness for various reasons, whether injured or not prepared for that. So students can always go and explore that. But during the month of December, they also put together what they call lights, wide lights. So it's all decorated in various lights, and they can still go and check out all those wild animals, right? Like and birds, cougars, raccoons, all of that, you name it, right? So it's going to be more of like the natural habitat, but it's also decorated with lots of different lights. Activities taking place, bonfire taking place, right? So it's hot chocolate, right? All of it is that it's all telling you Christmas is coming.
And with regard to what you said earlier about all the other activities, I can picture any students getting bored at TRU. Like so many activities, especially for those who want to get out there and do as much as they can during the semester. But let's also talk a little bit about academics and what kinds of subjects or study programs is TRU particularly strong in?
So that's also a great question, because at TRU, we don't just focus on one specific faculty, school, or program. So the strength that we offer here is students get to explore, right? Courses, subjects from different area. There's lots of selection from humanities. So we call it arts, right? Arts mm-hmm. program. Lots of different choices there. Definitely science is one of the strongest one because it's all hands-on. And mind you, you know, the focus is a lot on experiences, right? So not just lecture, not just like let's learn this chapter and move on, right? But it's more as to what do we do with that information? How can we implement that information? How, you know, how this correlates to the real life scenario or, you know, work market out there? So even through study, students get more of that experiential learning opportunities. Business, definitely. Tourism is one of the strongest too. So those are just a few that that I wanted to highlight in terms of faculties, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, depending on when student is coming, whether it's a gap year student who just completing high school and they want to kind of dip their toes right into the university academia studies, or if it's a more mature student who's maybe in their year three, right, and now decides to go study abroad. So that's where we can explore what exactly, right, we can offer you, because again, they don't need to just stay within their major. Mm-hmm. They can go versatile, right, with the curriculum of what they're going to study.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's talk also a little bit about the visiting student program. Can you give us an overview of that as well, and maybe talk a little bit about what subjects international students, for instance, can take?
So for visiting students, we're open to welcome them either for just one semester or for the whole academic year. It will be up to them to decide how long they're ready to stay with us. And academic advisors will basically be one of the key teams that they're going to start engaging with in order to plan what are the courses that I'm going to be taking, right? Some courses will be approved by their home institutions. That they may explore, as I mentioned, you know, branch out, right? Take different courses. But if we think, for example, what exactly can students study, right? We can look at anything from, say, astronomy, anthropology, to, of course, business-related classes like economics, human resource, finance. Communication is one of my favorite areas, because communication entails like a larger umbrella of that, from public relations to definitely, you know, digital media, social media. Understanding, you know, the crisis kind of communication, right? How to put it all together, looking even at like different cultures, right? In the media, like including like your social work, social networks, right? Memes as part of that culture too, right? That's also your communication in a way. There's theater studies, there's science related studies from various type of biological subjects, chemistry, math related classes. Classes, data analysis, right? Like those kind of subjects, of course. Film studies, your classical humanities from sociology to psychology, political studies as well. So it's on and on and on.
Comprehensive. Yeah, that's a great width of different subjects. Can you maybe share what are perhaps individual courses that are popular amongst international visiting students?
I do see that international visiting students, they do enjoy the portfolio that our arts department offers, right? Because again, communication will be part of that, anthropology is part of that, some political studies, economy when it comes to, say, theory, right, as opposed to like applied economy under business. I also see that students do enjoy taking some science related classes, like biological subjects, as I mentioned, English in terms of like creative writing, for example, right, is also one of those areas where students like to study, right? Whether it's narration, right, of that story, whether it's looking into like essential skills, right, that they need, or if they look like at the literature as a culture per se, right, like what, you know, various eras and so on, right, as part of their English studies. Some students enjoy that geography, because geography is not only looking at landscapes, but it's also looking at urban aspect of that, right? Like that planning, right? The urban planning, the economical part of that landscape, for example, right? Even in information systems within that. So geography is not just about like a high school concept of geography.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know what you mean. Yeah, or what you're getting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those are some interesting ones. And just as we spoke about prior starting recording, right, that one class that really stood out to me in the name, right, we talk about archaeology, but it archaeology in pop culture, right? Frauds, myths, mysteries, right? So that's a cool subject. I would take that.
Definitely some unique classes. Yeah,
exactly. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking, the first thing that comes to mind in that regard is Indiana Jones.
So exactly. Exactly. Right. Yes. Yes. Definitely part of that. Definitely part of that.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned earlier that you also accept high school graduates who would like to study at Thompson Rivers for one or two semesters as gap year students. What makes Thompson Rivers a good option for those students in particular?
Well, first of all, the environment, right? Because university studies can be intimidating, especially if we go to a large university where you have a classroom of 200 students, 300 students, and you're just a small fraction of that, right, student population. But when it comes to TRU, our classes are anywhere within, I'd say, 30 to 40 students per classroom. So that's the environment where students can easier transition to that university concept, right? Because transitioning from high school to university, that's also can be stressful, right? Can be a lot of pressure there, understand and navigate that system. So that's the type of environment where it's easier to do so, with also tons of support that is available, with, you know, academic advisors, academic related supports like writing help center, math help center, economic help center. So that's kind of the idea of dipping your toe, right, in that academia study and university environment. So that what makes TRU quite appealing in that sense.
Okay, great. And what type of accommodation options are available to visiting and gap year students? You already mentioned that you have accommodation on campus, and I assume that would be a good option not only for the younger students, but for everybody who wants to kind of take full advantage of campus life. But what else is out there in Kamloops?
Absolutely. So we have residences. There's about four different types of residents that we have on campus. They will offer different room layout as well as blocks layout, right? Whether it's a block of two rooms or blocks of four individual rooms that students then share a common area and bathroom facility. But students can also choose Canadian homestays, especially if they want to dive into that Canadian culture, have that connection, explore area with their homestay and host family. And some host families, they also have, can't say kids, but yes, teenagers, kids, right? And maybe even someone of their age or closer to their age. So that's already another connection, another network, right? The social aspect of that. and let's not forget that even if students choose to stay outside of campus, it does not mean that they're excluded from the life of campus, right? It's not only their residence that keeps them connected. And mind you, students are always welcome to join one of the activity that residence puts together, because they've already built those connections with other students, right? So they can come and join that activity in one of the residence at any time. So it does not exclude them, right, from campus life if they choose to stay in a homestay. When students come in just for a semester, I would not recommend looking for rental options, right, because usually rental is more of a long term, but definitely explore either homestay or one of the four residences that we have on our campus. On all of them, two are right in the heart of the campus, but the other two is literally across the street from the university. Across the street, there's a large grocery store, so it's easy to navigate and attend to their needs, right, even if they stay on our off-campus accommodation options.
All right. Yeah, that's definitely some good information. And yeah, we've talked about a lot and about what TRU has to offer to international students. Just before we wrap up, in summary, what's in your opinion unique about TRU?
Well, as I already mentioned, classroom size, right, that really helps students to not only connect and get to know their peers, but also connect with their faculty members who carry a lot of knowledge and wisdom, because our faculties, they are not just from the academia world. A lot of them are from the actual practical side of that world, right? So they have that practical knowledge, basically, right, that students can take advantage of as well, right? The support services that we have on our campus, thus we make sure that every student is supported in one way or the other, or at least they are aware that if anything, I'm not alone, right? And that's huge when it comes to being overseas by yourself, right? Navigating the challenges of the studies, right? Living outside of your regular, you know, social support circle. So that's one of the key aspects. And of course, that diversity of different subjects, areas that they can explore, that also expands further their experience, overall experience.
All right, perfect. All right, then last but not least, we're not wrapping up yet because we come to a final segment of our episode, which is our this or that question round.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, let's start with that. So we ask you a couple of this or that questions, and these are, you know, meant to be a little bit on the funnier side, and we ask you for your spontaneous answers. So let's start with that.
Okay.
So let's begin with hiking in the Canadian Rockies or jogging at Riverside Park.
I would say hiking the Rockies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Because of the view. Because of that air. It's even the different quality of the mountain air, right? So I would choose that for sure.
All right, that's a clear answer. All right, moving along, skiing in Sun Peaks or snowball fight on the TRU campus?
I would choose the snowball fight.
Did you mention earlier that you're not big into skiing, but tubing is more?
Tubing is my kind of sport. That's for sure. Right. Yes.
Can you explain a little bit to our listeners, for those who may not know what tubing exactly is, and if they should try it when they come to Kamloops?
Oh, I definitely vouch for them to try that, because tubing, you don't have to work that hard as you would on a ski, you know, in skiing or snowboarding. So what that is basically, think of it as a tube, like a concept of the inside of the tire, right? Mm-hmm. Which takes
it looks
you
like
up
a donut,
the
right?
A donut, it, like it is pretty
inflated
much
a donut, yeah.
Pretty much it is. So it already takes you on the lift up the mountain, so you don't have to work that hard. And then you get on that tube, and then they push you down the hill. And that's a great way to release any kind of tension. Just dip into the playful, almost like, you know, childlike kind of state where you enjoy freely those winter activities as you roll down that hill, right? Mm-hmm. On that tube, and then up the mountain you go again. And of course, the hills are not as steep as, you know, as you would go for skiing or snowboarding, but it's absolutely a lot of fun, especially if you do that with a group of friends, because then you can put a few donuts together, right? Hold onto each other's donut and just roll down the hill as a group. It is a lot of fun.
It sounds fun for sure. Yeah.
Sounds like haven't a trip tried to the it emergency yet, yeah. room, but
I would say that skiing and snowboarding is more of a trip to emergency room, but tubing is pretty safe that way. Pretty safe, yeah.
Okay.
All right, then moving along. Next question. Exploring Kamloops restaurant scene or hosting dinner parties?
I would definitely explore the food places in Kamloops, because there's lots of different cuisines, right, to explore. It is definitely a good destination for those who are into food, right, because there's anything from a pub food to a restaurant to kind of, you know, those chain restaurants as well, if you want to some unique places, to pastry specifics, to specific cultural outlets, right, of that kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I would explore food places.
Mm-hmm. Do you have one recommendation, like one place that if Elias and I came to visit and we wanted to go out for a casual dinner, where would we go with you?
Casual or not, but I would definitely take you to a Romeo's Kitchen. That's one of my favorite places, and not only because their food is so delicious, I like the ambience at their place. There's a bit of a fireplace going on. There's also beautiful terrace, right, overlooking the rest of the city. And winter time, they actually started that during pandemic restrictions, but they put igloos outside, and you can book that igloo just for yourself on their terrace.
That's
so definitely
cool.
Exactly. So that would be the place I would take you guys for sure.
Okay.
That sounds
so we're
cool.
going to go to the igloos. But it's not ice igloos. It's kind of like...
kind of covered. Yes, okay. It's the structure, right? The structure of an igloo, and then it's covered. But it gives that privacy while also having a stunning view when evening, winter, right? Where everything is lit. Yes.
Nice.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, then weekend road trips or staycations in Kamloops?
I'm a road trip kind of a person. I do like to explore the area, and there's already, you know, some favorite places for me within anything from a 20-minute ride to a 40-minute ride. And I do enjoy that drive itself because it's just so scenic and beautiful. So I would go on a road trip.
Yeah. And you did mention that there, you know, Kamloops is a great place to, you know, start exploring the rest of British Columbia. So,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. There's, you know, anything from lakes to waterfalls to some cultural scenes, right? To different farms that have been turned into a tourist attraction place, right? Where you feed the goat, but they're smart enough, so you put the foot at the bottom and they roll the wheel up. Because they're right above on the bridge, right, to feed themselves. So those are kind of, you know, neat places that you get to see and explore. So road trip for sure.
Nice. All right, then on to the final question. Going to a local art gallery or going to a local ice hockey game?
That's a tricky one, because I would like to do both, but I will tell you that I've never really understood the hockey game before I had a chance to see it in person. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that that's definitely exciting. It's captivating. So I would choose a hockey game.
All right. Well, then, well done. And I guess that brings us to the end of our podcast episode. Tatiana, thank you so much for joining us today, talking about TOU and all of its offerings. I think we really enjoyed the episodes. I'm sure students who are listening to this did as well. Again, thank you so much and take care.
Thank you so much for inviting.
Great. And I'm going to go listen to some Christmas carols now to get in the mood.
All right. Ho, 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 right?
Exactly. All right. Take All care,
right. Take
Tatiana.
Care.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Ho, ho, ho. Na, das war doch mal eine schöne Abschlussfolge für dieses Jahr.
Das finde ich auch. Was würdest du denn als erstes machen, wenn du jetzt in Chemnitz wärst?
Ich glaube, ich würde mir tatsächlich als erstes wirklich ein Eishockeyspiel anschauen. Es ist zwar nicht direkt mein Sport, aber ich glaube, die Begeisterung der KanadierInnen bei solchen Veranstaltungen zu sehen, ist ein absolutes Muss. Und das passt ja auch einfach sehr gut in diese Jahreszeit.
Ich glaube, ich würde die Langlaufskier auspacken und schauen, ob ich die Skatingtechnik noch hinbekomme.
Das will ich sehen.
Nee, lieber nicht. Ich glaube, ich übe erstmal ein bisschen für mich allein und sage dann Bescheid, so in 1 bis 2 Jahren. Wenn ihr am liebsten euer Snowboard oder eure Skier entstauben und euch für ein Auslandssemester in Kanada bewerben möchtet, dann werft doch gleich einmal einen Blick in unsere Shownotes zu dieser Folge. Dort findet ihr einen Link zum Hochschulprofil der TRU und zu den Erfahrungsberichten ehemaliger Visiting Students.
Außerdem findet ihr in den Shownotes wie immer auch unsere Kontaktdaten. Ruft uns an oder schreibt uns, wenn ihr Fragen zu TRU habt oder euch ganz allgemein über die Möglichkeiten eines Auslandssemesters an unseren Partnerhochschulen informieren möchtet. Wir schicken euch dann gern unsere ausführliche Bewerbungsanleitung zu TRU mit vielen Infos und Tipps zur Bewerbung. Die Anleitung ist natürlich kostenlos, genau wie unser gesamter Beratungs- und Bewerbungsservice, da wir von unseren Partnerhochschulen für unsere Arbeit bezahlt werden.
Ende Januar geht es dann wie gewohnt weiter mit einer neuen Folge. Bis dahin sagen wir vielen Dank fürs Zuhören, genießt die Feiertage und habt eine gute Zeit.